I started to work on another book, which I titled Enter the Kingdom. Enter the Kingdom. And this teaching is based on some of the things that will be in that book. I have no doubt that we are all here because someday we want to finally enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, however you put it. Enter the kingdom is meant to explain to us, as the Holy Spirit has given to me, the kingdom concept. What a kingdom really is. How a kingdom operates. Understanding the kingdom that is in you. When they said to Jesus, show us the kingdom of God, he said the kingdom is in you. Is there a kingdom there? How do we enter into the kingdom? How do we function in the kingdom? By the grace of God, over the next few weeks, we are going to be discussing such things. Today we want to talk about the making of man. The making of man. And we are not going to spend a lot of time reading from the Bible because you have read these things before. By the grace of God, I will just be explaining some things. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. We have the story of how God made all things. And finally, the sixth day, he made man. And Genesis 2 explains how he made the man and the instructions that he gave to the man. Hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, everybody can say it. God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth. When verse 2. Okay. The earth was void, without form, covered with darkness, submerged, and the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the water. Hallelujah. You see, when the Spirit of God moves, things begin to happen. And after that was when God said, let there be light. He said, there was light, the light of the Lord shared. The light of the Spirit of God. Because it was after that that God made the galaxy. Are you with me? The sun, the stars, the moon. Praise the Lord. And then God made different things, created some other things. When you read, you will go and draw a line between God made and God created. God made would mean that it was not a new creation. What God created will mean that it was a new creation. Are you with me now? Okay. For example, if you want to make a cake, you go and buy flour, you mix. You are following what somebody used to do. You're not creating any new thing. No new diet. Are you with me? You're just making the cake. But if you produce some type of food that nobody has ever made before. Okay? That is your creation. Praise the Lord. So you're going to see that when God caused the animals to be produced from the ground, the Bible said God made. Praise the Lord. That would imply that these animals had existed before the world of Adam. God just calls them back. Are you with me? Biologists, thank God I studied biology. Biologists say the Bible is off track because the Bible only gives a account of 6,000 to 7,000 years. And they see fossils, remains of living things, that have been there for a long time. Way beyond the dating of Genesis chapter 1. And the point is this. It is the way that they have chosen to read the Bible and interpret it. What the Bible said was, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. Verse 2. And the earth was void. What happened before, between that full stop and the time that the earth became void? God, he did not bother to tell us all of that. Hallelujah. The period between them is unknown. And the last time you brought a young man in here, about 3 weeks ago, who had read a lot of books, and the books were just turning his mind and everything wrong side out. And he came and sat down and started telling me the things he read and what they said. I said, see, your problem is that you have read a lot of junk before understanding the Word of God. You are now trying to read the Word of God, and you are using that junk to edit the Word of God. So if the Word of God does not agree with the junk, you agree with the junk, and then you queried the Word of God. If you had first understood the Word of God, if you were reading some junk, you will use the Word of God to edit the junk. When the junk does not agree with the Word of God, you throw it out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is how to live. There are people who can read anything because they are armed with the Word of God. There are people who shouldn't read anything because they have not applied themselves to the Word of God first. Hallelujah. So he said, Then I explained this thing to him. It's the way you are interpreting the Bible and the assumptions that you make. The period between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 is a factor as the ageless past or the dateless past. Nobody knows how long. It could have been billions of years. Nobody knows. The thing is this, and I told the young man, I said, the Bible said there that the earth was void, formless. Do you follow me? You, a human being, if you want to create something, will you create something that has no form? He said no. So now you understand that God did not initially create an earth that had no form. It must have had form. Something went wrong, and God overthrew that world. Do you follow me? And it became, if you have seen an earthquake somewhere, you will know what it means for something to be formless. My sister lived in Miami, Florida, some years ago when the Hurricane Agnes came in. And, you know, in the U.S., they follow the path of hurricanes, and they can tell you, by tomorrow, it will arrive in Ibadan. Everybody in Ibadan, move out. Fortunately, she was one of those who quickly evacuated. By the time that she returned, she was telling us, you couldn't find the way to your house. There was no reference. You say, when you're going, you say, when you get to this three-story building, but the three-story building is now flat. Do you follow my point? So, she said, when you come, it was difficult for people to locate their houses because everything was flat. That is what you call formless. Was Miami made like that? No. Something went wrong. And basically the thing that went wrong was that the beings, I say the beings, I won't say man, and I will tell you later. The beings that occupied the then world must have sinned against God. Seriously. Because we learn after the world of Adam came that in the world of Noah, the same thing happened. Do you follow me? When sin was so much, God overthrew the earth again. He covered it with water. Do you follow my point? Praise the Lord. He covered it with water again. So that we can know that the thing that we have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 into verse 2, 3, was by God's action. Angry at the beings and overthrowing the world that was before the world of Adam. So when God called the animals back, what I say is this, that those animals had existed. God just put flesh back on them. Go to Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Bones. See, God was showing a vision to Ezekiel. How God, and Ezekiel told him, God said, can these bones rise up? Ezekiel said, Lord, you are God. You can do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And in the revelation, Ezekiel saw it happening. Although that was for the nation of Israel that was to be revived. But God was not showing Ezekiel a vision of something that he could not do. Do you follow me? So when he called the animals back, he just took flesh on dry bones, and the animals got up and they began to live. In the word of Adam, that is God. Hallelujah. But when he came to man, someone please open Genesis chapter 1 and read verse 26.
Then God said, let us make human beings.
Let us make human beings.
In our own image.
In our own image.
To be like us.
To be like us.
They will reign over the fish in the sea.
Yes.
The birds in the sky.
Yes.
The livestock.
Uh-huh.
All the wild animals.
Yes.
On the earth.
Okay.
And the small animals that scurry along the ground.
Okay. Go on.
So God created in His own image.
In His own image.
In the image of God, He created them.
Yes.
Male and female, He created them.
Thank you, sir. I think we can stop there. You see, the two words combined. Let us make man. Okay? I told you, to make is to put together from something pre-existent. Okay? But then, so God created man. So what is it said in Genesis chapter 2? You get the picture. We are told God took clay. When you take clay and you are molding something, what are you doing? You are making. You are making. Okay. Praise the Lord. The potter makes pots by getting clay and molding it into shape. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, he molded the man, making him into a particular form. But after that, the Bible said, God breathed into his nostrils, what? The breath of life, and man became a living soul. A living soul. He didn't say a living, did the Bible say a living being? Anybody that is a living being, it will not be correct. But, and I'll tell you why. A living being may not be a living soul. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an example. Jesus said, anybody who lives and does not believe in me is what? Anybody who lives but does not believe in me is dead. He is living, no? He goes to work. He earns money. He eats. He drinks. He gets married. He goes to parties. But he's a living being, but a dead soul. Because his soul is without the knowledge of Christ. His soul will just go wild. That's a dead one. Praise the Lord. So there is a difference between a living being and a living soul. A living soul has the Spirit of God applied. He has Spirit applied. Hallelujah. And receiving from the Spirit of God. When you don't receive from the Spirit of God anymore, that's a dead soul. So, God sent his breath of life into the man. And that was the big difference about man. All of the other creatures that he made, he did not put his breath into them. So, they are not living souls. They walk about, the goats and dogs. You follow my point? They go about, they have a soul. But they do not have a soul that communes with God through a spirit, because God did not put that spirit into them. Are you with me now? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, in hell, which the Bible calls the second death, which means that there is, when they are cast into hellfire, they are into the second death. But Jesus said, they are in pain. Praise the Lord. You see, they are dead souls, completely severed from God. Okay? But they can feel pain. They can talk. The rich man was talking in hell. Wasn't he talking?
Yeah.
He was talking.
Yeah.
But that was not a living soul. That was a dead soul. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He was talking. He remembered that he used to be on earth. He remembered that he still had brothers on earth. You know? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let us make him in our image, after our likeness, or to be like us, according to his own translation. What is that image? What exactly is that image? What is that image? Image refers to design. I use the word architecture. The way that he is designed. Let it be like us. This bodily shape. Fine. That's the reason for it. Okay? This bodily shape. So when Jesus came, Jesus did not come looking like a cow. He did not come looking like a dog. That would have been an insult, a complete insult. He did not come looking like any other creature. He came looking like man. Because basically, that is what God looks like. However, deeper than that. God is made of three entities. Who are they? Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But God is a spirit, isn't he? Praise the Lord. And a spirit basically does not have flesh and bones. That's what Jesus said, okay? When he resurrected, and he appeared to his disciples, and they were afraid. And he said, it is I, okay? He said, oh no, don't be afraid, it is I, it is not a spirit. Touch me, feel me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. But then, if God made us in his image, and there are three entities in God, then there are three in us. What are the three in us? In us. The three. Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. Those are the three in us. Hallelujah. So he designed us like himself. Three entities packaged into one body. Hallelujah. Now, a spirit does not have a body like this. If you will see an angel. How many people have seen a spirit before here? You have seen a spirit. Either you saw the ghost of somebody who died, or you saw a spirit, real spirit. Nobody. I have seen spirits. You have seen a spirit before. When?
It looked like.
What did it look like?
It looked like a person.
It just looked like something that's, you know, transparent, etheric. They don't look solid like this. You see, I've seen spirits a number of times. Hallelujah. Some years ago, I was still in the university. A young lady was sick, and she had to come down to Ilorin and stay with us so that we could have time to minister to her health. And one morning I woke up, my wife was in the bathroom. I was in the bedroom, the master bedroom, getting ready for my wife to come out, and I'll go to the bathroom. The lady was sleeping in the visitor's room, and inside our bedroom, I saw this spirit, female, tall, looked exactly like the lady who was in the bedroom. And we looked at each other, and she disappeared. I didn't say anything. Then in the afternoon of that day, the lady said to me, brother, this morning, a spirit came out of me. She looked exactly like me, except that she was taller than me, and she was very wet, covered with water. And she recovered. She recovered completely. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, I have seen spirits another time, but let's forget about it. Let's just go on. God is a spirit, but God is a different kind of spirit. All other spirits have two entities in them. Maybe someday we'll touch on that in detail. But all other spirits, if you will see an angel, go and read Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at the description of the cherubs that Ezekiel saw. You will see that Ezekiel described two components of those cherubs. He described the form. Then he described what he called the wheel that was associated with each of them and must always move with the cherubs. Wherever the angel went, the wheel must go. And he said the reason is that the spirit of the being is in the wheel. Praise the Lord. So you don't go and leave your spirit behind. Hallelujah. Where you go, that is where your spirit is. I'm moving. My spirit is in me and also going with me. Wherever I turn, he turns. Wherever I go, he goes. Go and read Ezekiel chapter 1. Those are the two components that he described. Those are the two components that spirits have. They have a spirit and they have a soul. That is all. Hallelujah. So when somebody dies, you know, we have spirit, soul, and body. When a man dies, which component of him do you bury? You bury the body. So, which component of him go away? Spirit and soul. You don't bury the spirit and soul, you bury the body. So, if somebody died and God opened your eyes, you will see the form of a human being going away. You follow my point, and I have seen it before. You will actually see the form of a human being going away, except that this body is no longer there. That entity that is going away, which is made of spirit and soul, is a spirit being, no longer a human being. Hallelujah. Now, if all spirits have two components, and God is a spirit, and he has three. Now you know that God is a different kind of spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, all other creatures, call them animals. Okay, and I said to people, biology has stumbled in a bad way, saying that man is an animal. Because I am not an animal. I am a human being. The Bible refers to animal kind, mankind. Do you follow my point? God has never referred to man as an animal. You will not find it anywhere in this world and not in heaven. Why is that? Why is it that God will never refer to man as an animal? Because man is his own image. He will not refer to man as an animal. So all other animals have two components. Do you know the one that's missing? I have mentioned it today. What is missing in the animals? Spirit is missing. So what are the two that they have? Soul and body. Praise the Lord. Soul and body. Those are the two that they have. Not living souls. Do you follow me? The Bible didn't say animals were living souls. It's only man. Because of the spirit that God put in him. So you see why we can kill them and eat. You cannot kill a human being like you can kill an animal. Because man was made in the image of God. So man is a different kind of creature, as God is a different kind of spirit. Do you follow me now? And that is why we say that man is the closest creature to God. Closest, the dearest to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, after God made man, God blessed them, and God gave them dominion over all of the things that he had made. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and do what again? Replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. What does it mean to replenish? To
multiply.
You know, he said, be fruitful, one. Multiply, two. And replenish the earth, three. Three assignments. No, that's not replenishing. Have you ever said to somebody, maybe you were drinking from a cup, maybe you were taking Coca-Cola, to increase, to fill again? Replenish means fill it again. If I give you the cup and say replenish this, you go and add to what you follow my point? That is replenishing. So if the cup had been initially empty, nothing was ever in it, and I give it to you, I say go and replenish this, it has no meaning. There must have been something in it before. Hallelujah. So when God said replenish the earth, that meant that there used to be some beings on the earth. So God was saying there used to be some beings on the earth. They have been wiped out. Now you replenish the earth. When you go to Genesis chapter 9, after Noah returned to earth, God used the same word. Because he had wiped out mankind, he blessed the family of Noah, and he told them again, replenish the earth. Praise the Lord. So man had all of this authority to replenish the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply. First was be fruitful. Are you with me? Second was multiply. Third was replenish the earth. They had to follow that sequence. I'll tell you why. Be fruitful will mean, so people take it that he meant produce a lot of children. You see, that's me, but no, because he said multiply, that is produce children. So be fruitful meant be fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God. By their fruit you shall know them. Be fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God, and multiply and replenish the earth. The reason is that if you were not fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God, and you were multiplying, you are going to fill the earth again with godless children. But if you are rich in the things of the Spirit of God and you are multiplying, like God said to Father Abraham, he says, God will surely bless Abraham. Because God knows that he will commend his children in the way of the Lord. Do you follow me? Hallelujah. See, if Abraham had not known God, there would have been no way that he would command his children in the way of the Lord. So Adam and Eve were to be fruitful in the things of the Lord and then multiply, and their children, generations after them, can be God-like people, because God made us in his image, after his likeness. And his likeness meaning that when he made us, he did not only give us the same architecture, he gave us the God-like character content in our likeness. Praise the Lord. So that we have the form of God and we behave like God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if you saw a creature that you have never seen before? And as you're looking at it curiously, the creature did like this, spread out its wings, and you saw feathers. Won't you suspect that it is able to fly? Yes, because form can be used to predict some behavioral aspects. Do you follow me? So if we look like God, we should also behave like God, after our image and our likeness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. So now that we understand these basic things, let us see what happened in Genesis chapter 3, which you know very well. Genesis chapter 3. So the serpent came to the woman, and the serpent did something that many of us fail to do from time to time, which we should learn to do. The serpent tries to win a soul, didn't he?
Yes.
He came to win a soul, and he did win the soul. And he started his process of winning a soul by introducing a topic. Praise the Lord. Many of us, we don't do it. You can always introduce it. Somebody is sitting by you in the vehicle. You can introduce a topic that has nothing to do with Jesus, and then you can bring him down or bring her down to the point of salvation. Hallelujah. A lot of times we sit down, we tie our lips. Bam. You can offer somebody a book to read. You can talk about, this petrol scarcity. Just get the person to talk to you too. You follow my point? That from that point onwards, you can begin to talk. And you can begin to share a testimony. Are you with me? Or whatever the Holy Spirit brings your way. And you're winning a soul. The devil came to win a soul. And he succeeded. The first thing he said was, hey, Eve, did God say that you must not eat of any of these fruits? Why would God have said that? He just wanted Eve to talk. Because the devil knew that God planted the garden for them. Do you follow me now? He knew that God planted the garden purposely for them. And he knew that God told them, you can eat of any of the fruits except this one in the middle of the garden. But just to get Eve to talk. And then she told back, oh, God said, we must not eat of that one, and we must not touch it, which God did not say. Are you with me? God never said, don't touch it. Believe me, if God said, don't eat, don't drink this oil, specific instruction, you can carry it, look at it. God would not say, why are you carrying it? You can open it, smell it. You can pour it on your head. Do you follow my point? Until you drink it, you have not violated the command. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until you drink it, you have not violated the command. So the devil said, oh, so God told you not to eat that one. Ah, he doesn't like you. Look, right now you are blind. He doesn't want you to see. You eat it, your eyes will be open. God doesn't want you to be like the gods. You eat it, you become like the gods. You know the difference between good and evil. He convinced a curious Eve. I said curious. Because, listen, from the day that God said you must not eat of the fruit of that tree, they must have been wondering, why mustn't we eat it? And it looks good, though. You know, they must have been curious. James says that you complain that you are tempted of God. God doesn't tempt people and you cannot tempt him. He said, every man is tempted out of his own lust. It is what you want to do that the devil helps you to scheme. If you have no desire for something, there is no way that the devil will use it to tempt you. He will not tempt you with what you don't like. Do you follow my point? You want to go and catch a fish? Then you put something that fish don't eat on your hook. Do you follow me? Then you cast your hook. How many fish will come there? You have to put something that fish are going about looking for. Right? Okay. James says, it is out of the lust of your heart that the devil now comes and helps you to achieve it. May God help us.
Amen.
So Eve took the fruit, she ate. Mr. Adam was standing by her. Adam didn't say, hey, stop it. He watched her eat. He saw that she did not drop dead. Remember, they were living souls. They didn't know that the dead soul does not mean that you drop dead. They didn't realize that the dead soul may still be standing. So he saw that she did not drop dead. Then she gave to him. He took and ate. And they died. They became dead souls. Period. From that point onwards, remember the initial blessing. Be fruitful. Remember I said be fruitful meant increase in the things of the Spirit of God. But now that they disobeyed God, they were separated from the Spirit of God. Because by law, you are the servants of whom you obey. That is what the Bible says. Once you choose to disobey God and obey the devil, you become servants of the devil. I say to people, if the governor of Kwara State, Sharaki, sits in his office, the deputy governor comes in, they have a dispute, okay? Then the secretary to the state government comes in, and the governor says, get out of this office. And the deputy governor says, stay. But sometimes it happens. It happens. The governor says, I tell you to get out. The deputy governor says, stay. And the secretary of state government decides to stay. He has told the governor, you may be governor, but this is my master. Isn't it true? It is true. You are the servants of whom you obey. So they became servants of the devil. From that point onwards, be fruitful became irrelevant. Because you cannot be fruitful when you are controlled by the devil. You cannot increase in the things of the Spirit of God when you are controlled by the devil. And because you can no longer be fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God, you continue to multiply. But you cannot now continue to fill the earth with God like children. Do you follow me now? So from that point onwards, man became increasingly evil. Increasingly evil. Until the days of Noah when God said, Otoge, enough is enough. Every imagination of the thought of the heart of man is continually evil. I must wipe man out of the surface of the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May God help us.
Amen.
From the time of disobedience, the Spirit of God with whom they would commune with their own spirit would no longer relate with them. Another power took over. He is called the power of darkness. We will pick it up from here on Thursday by the grace of God. Let's give Jesus a clap of hallelujah. Amen. Now, questions, comments. Anybody has a question? Anybody has a comment? Nobody? All of this talk. Well, Sister Mary has a question. Sometimes I forget that I don't have an eye at the back.
Talking about the people, the creation of the earth, the beings who were there. What could have been the beings? And then you're talking about the apple, God called back the
animals.
Okay. So, we want to say it was only the animals who were the beings before it was destroyed.
Okay. She said that I mentioned that in the world that was before the world of Adam, God destroyed the beings. She said, who were the beings? And she said, I said that God called back the animals. Were the animals the beings? The first question, who were the beings? I don't know. That was why I said beings. Whatever they were, just beings. We are not told. Were the animals the beings? Answer is no. The animals must have been there to serve the kind of purpose they serve now. to nourish the beings. I hope you follow me. Now, when God destroyed the world of Noah, he destroyed the animals too. He just saved a few. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay. And he didn't say every imagination of the thought of the heart of the animals was continually evil. He said man. But when he wanted to destroy the man, he destroyed the animals. Do you follow my point? Okay. So, let me give you a hint. One might think that Lucifer, in the days of his glory, was high priest over those beings. Now, the Bible didn't say so specifically, but I'll give you a reason. If you read Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, some prophecies that relate with Lucifer, start from verse 12 in each case also. The garments of Lucifer were described in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Just read both because they both relate to him. The garments of Lucifer were described. The word of God said, your covering was precious stones. And he named 9 precious stones that were on the garments of Lucifer. When you now come to Aaron, the high priest, God commanded Moses, you are going to make the garments of Aaron beautiful. And you are going to get 12 precious stones. One to represent each tribe of Israel. And you will put them on his garments. Do you follow me? Now, when you read Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, you will see that Lucifer was a high priest. Indeed, you will see that Lucifer was actually worshipped the way that we now worship Jesus. Because in, I think it's Ezekiel 28, now when you read, you'll see it. God said to him, you have defiled your sanctuaries. Are you with me now? You have defiled your sanctuaries. Whereas each time he spoke to the children of Israel about defiling the sanctuary, he said, my sanctuaries. Do you follow me? My sanctuary will be the sanctuary of God. Your sanctuary is the sanctuary where you are worshipped. So Lucifer must have been worshipped and transmitting the glory to God. Like we worship Jesus today. And the glory goes to the Father. Do you follow my point? He was a mighty cherub, powerful. That was why he thought, let me take over from God. And he fell forever. So, I believe that the 9 precious stones must have represented 9 different tribes of beings. That he was high priest over them. As the 12 precious stones on the garments of Aaron the high priest represented the 12 tribes of Israel. See, God talks to us from his word to search his word out. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. So, Sister Mary, if you got that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to know, does the Garden of Eden still exist? And the river Euphrates are not the same.
Okay. The river Euphrates, the rivers that were mentioned still exist. The tree of life is forgotten. Remember, nobody can even go there because God placed a cherub with blazing swords. So, we don't know. Follow my point. Nobody can say, I have been to the Garden of Eden because God had protected it from any presence. What we know is this. In Revelation 22, we are back to our Eden. And we have back the fruit of life. And we will eat it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All of those who have gone on pilgrimage to Israel, I doubt if they ever took you to the Garden of Eden. Of course, well, okay. Yeah, nobody would have taken you there. It's not something that we know about. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's pray. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's thank God for what we have discussed. Let's thank God for knowledge by His Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He said He will teach you all things. He does. Glory to God. And let us seek from Him the grace to also impart unto others what we have learned, so that we may be a blessing to somebody's life. Is there somebody here today who is not born again? You have not given your life to Jesus before? And you want to do so now? Please raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Anybody here who says, I want to give my life to Jesus? Or I want to rededicate my life to the Lord? If you raise up your hand, I just want to pray with you. You see that you're not being fruitful the way that God said. And something must change. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for your words today. We bless your holy name. Thank you for grace to hear these things. Thank you for grace to make use of this blessing. And as you bless us, Father, make each of us a blessing to some other people.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.